Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And as is our custom at this time on the Lord's Day morning, it's my real pleasure and joy to look to the Word of God with you in the worship of the great and mighty, faithful, triune, one true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one great and glorious true God, the God of all people, the God of creation of heaven and earth. My friends, we're continuing today to look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 5 that deals with the necessity of forgiveness. Last Lord's Day, we talked about bitterness and we looked at verses in the Bible that use the word bitter or bitterness, that contain that word or that communicate to us truth about bitterness and its dangerous and evil consequences, how it is that we are not to be bitter, we're not to allow bitterness in our hearts, a root of bitterness which could spring up and cause trouble and defile many. And we want to continue today to talk about bitterness, especially in the light of forgiveness. We forgive by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His grace, of course, is sufficient for us. And so we'll continue to speak about bitterness and the biblical antidote for this poison, and that is forgiveness by the grace of the marvelous God. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and learn more about our mission at www.missionafricajk.net. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you that your great and glorious gospel, which comes from your mighty hand, from your very heart to us, and we give you praise, Lord, that you are the God who does communicate with your people, that you reveal yourself, you manifest yourself to us by the Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would have your glory in this meeting, and we pray, great and gracious, forgiving God, that you would communicate to us once again today and about this truth of bitterness and forgiveness, that we would have a better understanding of your great nature and of our need to be cleansed of all bitterness and completely, truly forgive from our hearts the offense of others. Father, thank you that you change hearts, and so we pray that you would change hearts again today through this exposition, this teaching of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you that your Word is a light, that we are grounded in the truth as we take your precious truth into our hearts and minds, and as we believe in you, and that you, by your grace and power, transmit spiritual life to us. And so enliven us again today, Lord. Refresh us again today. Show us how to live in a way that pleases you again today. Forgive all of our sins. Forgive the many times we have injured others. And Lord, forgive us for not forgiving more fully and truly from our hearts. And so lead us to do that great thing that only you can bring to pass, that people would forgive others. And we pray that this would be a result of your precious word coming into hearts today, that you would have your glory in all of these things. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Amen. And we've mentioned in past times that this is a sacrificial, spiritual love that the husband is to have towards his wife. He is to forgive her as Christ has forgiven him. And we looked at a verse in Colossians chapter 3. Let me share that with you again. Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Now, this instruction, of course, connects to teaching in Colossians 3 that we find in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Praise God. And so we see in this instruction that forgiveness is absolutely necessary. It must take place. God requires us to forgive others as God has forgiven those who forgive others. And eventually we will understand this truth much more fully when we come into the very presence of the Lord. I believe we will have a greater insight then that we must forgive others, all others, especially our dearest and nearest neighbor, our spouse. Hence the admonition, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Or, in other words, maintain a pure heart towards them, because this reflects so clearly and surely the great heart of God. God has freely pardoned our many offenses and insults, our many trespasses, our evil, the transgressions, the breaking of His holy will and law. Again, a reflection of His holy character. We have corrupted in our own hearts by our sinfulness the great holy character and righteousness of God, and yet He is faithful and has forgiven us of all of that great transgression. And so it is that those who have been united to Him truly by the Spirit of Jesus must also forgive. Hence His admonition and commandment. You must forgive. And ultimately, those who are glorified are those who indeed have forgiven all others for their many transgressions. Now, this immediately brings into our minds the truth and reminder that it is not easy for fallen flesh to forgive others. Indeed, it is only by the saving grace of God that this commandment can be kept truly. It is only God's true saving grace that allows a regenerated sinner, one of the redeemed of Christ, those who are made a partaker of God's nature in Jesus by virtue of union to Jesus, to forgive. Only the saints truly obey this commandment in its entirety, in its fullness, as is required of us to forgive all others. Now, that forgiveness may not be perfect, of course. We are not perfect in any capacity, even as the redeemed of God, in ourselves. But nevertheless, it must be a true and full forgiveness, meaning that there is real forgiveness in one's heart against, we truly forgive those who have sinned against us. In truth, in entirety. And so, praise God, we must forgive all others, and we must be careful to forgive our spouses. And as we're going to see today, the injuries of a spouse to one require a real forgiveness of sins to avoid bitterness. And as we begin today, let me just quickly review that last Lord's Day, we looked at various verses in the Bible that deal with bitterness, and we cited the example of the water of bitterness as we found it there in the Old Testament, the water of bitterness. And we said that a woman who had been thought to possibly have been an adulteress was to be tested in this way. And I made mention that this water of bitterness would bring about a swelling of various parts of one's body. And that is true. The belly of the adulterous woman would swell, And then the word that's usually used in our modern translations for thigh, actually a word used rather than the intended meaning of genitals, would then shrink. In other words, God would bring this judgment through this bitter water. And so I want to correct that and communicate that more fully and clearly to you today. And so the water of bitterness would test if a woman had committed adultery or not. That was an Old Testament ordinance that is not in effect in the church now, of course. But it communicates to us the reality of bitterness and the effect of bitterness. And to harbor bitterness in one's heart is destructive. It is a violation of God's will and His Word. Because again, the Word of Christ, the commandment, is that we must forgive others and love them and not hate them. And so bitterness engenders a hatred of one's neighbor. We are indeed hating our neighbor when we forgive, when we fail to forgive them, when we are bitter towards them. Let us also just cite quickly today in the book of Jonah, in verse 9 of chapter 4, that we see that Jonah was angry and that Jonah was indeed bitter because God had shown mercy to the enemies of Israel. And that book ends on the note of Jonah's bitterness. We must think that Jonah came to terms with the great mercy and forgiveness of God that he had received, and then eventually did indeed come to agree with God and forgive the Ninevites. And we also have before us today another example of forgiveness, of a heart that did not allow itself to be bitter or hateful or vengeful toward another person who had harmed him. And that is the great heart of David, the great person of David, the champion of the Old Testament. And we find in various verses that David refused to take vengeance against King Saul. David continually forgave King Saul. And this was a great victory for David, the man after God's own heart. We see that he refused to harm Saul. And God brought Saul into David's hands at least a couple of times. And David absolutely refused to take vengeance. In this, we see David's great heart, that he would not hold a grudge, that he would truly forgive, that he would not allow bitterness against the king, the Lord's anointed. And in this, David declares often that he will not sin against God and take vengeance into his own hands, but that he would trust God, he would pray, and allow God to deal with Saul's sins. Now this shows the great character of David. David is a type of Christ. He has godly character. We also see great communications in Scripture about his courage and his faith, his wisdom, his willingness to be set apart to God, his holiness, and his great victories over many sins in his life. And we must note, of course, that David did have great defeats in his life, but the grace of God never departed from him, and he continued as a man after God's own heart. There were severe consequences, of course, but David refused to be bitter. Praise the Lord. And in this, we see the requirement in marriage that spouses refuse to be bitter and in their own hearts insist upon forgiving their spouses. Praise God. And I want to share the thoughts with you this morning by a writer named Jim Wilson. He has a little booklet entitled How to Be Free from Bitterness that has really helped me. And Jim Wilson ably shares with us the thoughts that we must escape bitterness or allowing bitterness in our hearts, and particularly in our marriages, and not be like Jonah, who says in Jonah verse 4:9, I am angry enough to die, by overcoming our anger, this desire for vengeance, for self-vindication in our hearts, a hatred for those who have harmed us. And this is because it is right to forgive people. Though the bitter heart says in this anger, vengeful, hateful attitude, I don't want to forgive that person who has harmed me. And so Wilson makes the point that tenderness, a tender heart, means that it is free of bitterness. And we have the call to be compassionate, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to not be bitter often in the Bible. And he asks the question, how do we maintain or firstly acquire a tender heart? And that it's not possible to have an interior attitude of bitterness and tenderness. These are contradictory attitudes. And so he makes the distinction that we will really either have a bitter attitude towards others, or we will have a tender heart, that is, a forgiving heart towards others. And we have all experienced injury at the hands of others. And perhaps you would agree with me that the greatest injuries we experience in life come from those closest to us. We can much more easily overlook the injury of a complete stranger. But it is much more difficult to forgive the injuries of those who are close to us. And so we see that in the context of marriage, this is absolutely necessary for the welfare of the individuals, of the husband and of the wife, for their spiritual well-being before God, and because they are called to turn from sin for their true tenderness of heart and repentance, they must forgive each other. Now again, in the context of marriage, where the husband and wife are the closest of all people to each other, there is a great danger for severe hurt or injury from the other person. And therefore, it is extremely important that spouses truly forgive one another. Praise God. And so Wilson makes the point is that guilt is what we feel when we sin and hurt or injure another. And bitterness is what we feel when another who is close to us sins against us. And so by this very definition, bitterness is a reaction to another's action. Another has committed an offense. In this case, in marriage, our spouse has offended us. We have been hurt, perhaps deeply, to the quick in our hearts. And so it is that we feel this bitterness upon being injured at such a deep level by such a close person. Wilson makes the point that God requires of us to confess our sin and forsake sin in these issues. In other words, not to allow bitterness to take over our hearts. And so, what do we do when others have harmed us in this way? And he makes the point that sometimes these injuries can be imagined. Sometimes this is a real injury, but at times we can imagine that as another has, perhaps a spouse has injured us and be mistaken in this way. And so we must recognize that whether the injury is imagined or real, we must get rid of our own bitterness, because bitterness, like leaven, will take our hearts. And as the scripture says, many will be defiled, great trouble will rise up, marriages are broken many times because bitterness happens and is allowed to happen in one's heart, even in the heart of a Christian. And so we must get rid of all bitterness. Hebrews 12:15, don't let a root of bitterness grow in us. Meaning, again, that bitterness cannot be allowed in the heart. And when we become aware of an injury in our heart and we are tempted to allow bitterness, we must immediately begin working through the process of forgiving that person. And what I mean by that is that my experience as a Christian, and as I have learned from many other Christians, their experience too, is that bitterness must be combated usually with great effort, especially in the beginning of an injury, and it is something that requires a constant attendance. In other words, usually we don't immediately pray or realize in our hearts that I have been injured, I forgive them, and we are freed of the sensation or the reality of the injury. The injury from another person, especially our closest people, brings about this deep pain. And so the pain of the injury, of the offense, constantly remains in our hearts. Usually time will help in this, but we must, in dealing with this pain and feeling the pain of this injury daily or throughout the day, especially when it first occurs, we must willfully forgive the other person. And I have found that a great way to really love them is to pray for them. That is, when I am deeply injured by a person that I love, that I am close to, I must constantly forgive them until the sense of injury and deep pain is over. Now, let me share with you honestly that I felt that I was very, very bitterly injured by some fellow co-workers, some fellow missionaries. And this began about 4 years ago. And to be honest with you, this has been a constant process for me, a daily process to forgive those that I felt injured me. And to be honest, I do believe that some of their injuries were not intended. And some of their injuries came about because they didn't really understand me or my position, or they didn't really understand their reactions to me and my position. To be honest, they were doing the best they could with very difficult situations too. And so it is that I had to constantly, upon remembering and feeling this injury and the pain of the injury, bring myself to come to God in prayer and constantly cry out, God, forgive them, bring good to them, and Lord, comfort me and comfort this pain I have deep in my heart at this great injury. And so it's a process. This usually doesn't happen with the snap of a finger. When we are so deeply injured, for instance, think of the effects, the long-lasting, probably lifetime effects of the injuries that a soldier experiences in war. I have a good friend, and he was a soldier, a very courageous soldier, a decorated soldier, and he suffered great injuries in the war, in the Vietnamese War. He's an American. He's slightly older than me, a wonderful Christian brother. And his injuries so affected him that earlier in his life, before he came to Christ, after he served as a soldier, he had great struggles. And he struggled with violence, he struggled with drinking, he struggled with a desire to escape the injuries that he carried in his heart, the horrors that he had experienced in war, the deep injury, the great stress that he involved, that he could not run away from. But when he came to Christ, he received Christ's grace and help. And in great measure, his injuries were helped, but not completely. He still struggles on a daily basis, remembering the depth of injury and the depth of contact with the horror and stress, that the pain that he experienced in warfare. And yet, nevertheless, he daily forgives those who have offended him, and he continues in the grace of God. Now, we can either engage in this constant process of forgiveness until the pain ends or until it is much helped, or we can instantly become bitter and harbor bitterness. And simply put, this is a death sentence in marriage. Bitterness, if it's harbored and nurtured and nourished, only grows and increases and gets worse and worse. And so we have the real possibility in bitterness of the destruction of one's marriage. And so bitterness, Wilson helps us to realize, is this state of heart that remembers details. And when we have been injured, it is not easy for us to forgive. We review and review and once again review the accident. Sometimes we feel such pain even at the thought of or mention of a person that we don't even want to think of their real name or mention their real name. We find ourselves concentrating on this person and what they have done to us, again, either real or imagined, and we again play in our minds and hearts over and over again this episode. And so if we do this, and if we don't forgive, and we don't constantly forgive and bring ourselves to love this person and, like Jesus, say, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, and come to the reality that we must forgive them and that we do forgive them, then we become bitter. And again, there are just countless horror stories of situations in marriage where one spouse or the other cannot or will not forgive. Now, perhaps you've heard people say this sometimes, this expression, they've used it, I can't forgive that person. Sometimes we hear Christians say, I can't or I won't forgive that person. And what we need to realize is that that very expression, when a person says that, then we see that that person is locked into a bitterness. That this is indeed sin. God requires forgiveness. And so that person is in need of forgiving the other person. Many times the person who is bitter is blinded to their bitterness or the effect of their bitterness. At times we can recognize bitterness in a person and it's not just expressed or is communicated in their statement that they can't forgive another, but in their constant reminder and dredging up of the actions of the episode and of their constant focus upon the episode or the injury. And so, my friends, this helps us to understand, perhaps some of you have experienced this, in fact, I'm sure you have, perhaps some of you are locked into this state of bitterness in your heart, and you just can't seem to get out of it, even though you pray about it. Perhaps some of you are still in the process of forgiving until it is that the injury, the sense of injury, is ended. I really thank God today that, in all honesty before the Lord, after 4 very difficult years, I finally have a sense of release of the injury that my fellow missionaries, I felt, had inflicted upon me. And so it's taken 4 years of daily determining to forgive them. In fact, I did that the first day. In my heart before God, I determined to forgive them. But it's taken 4 rather long and difficult years to get to the point where I don't feel the injury in my heart. God has comforted me in this regard. Perhaps some of you are in that very process and you have forgiven the person who has injured you so deeply, but you still have a great sense of the injury. Well, again, let me just encourage you. Our God is the God of all comfort. And He realizes the condition you're in. And so simply continue to pour out to God in prayer your pain, your difficulty. Pray about it. Tell Him how you're feeling. And at the same time, forgive your enemies. And pray for them that good will come to them. If you can, try to establish normal communication with them. Try to do them good. Perhaps the greatest good and the greatest expression of love is you're praying for them until the sense of injury and pain is healed. I believe that God will normally heal most injuries for us. It may take some time. It could take even a long time. But normally, God will comfort us and strengthen us and help us with our deepest sense of injury. Perhaps some of you have been injured so deeply that, like my friend, the soldier, you will carry in your heart for the rest of your life a pain and a sense of injury and pain about what you went through. Your injury, your sense of stress, your distress regarding this is so great. Well, again, my friend, let me just encourage you that, like my friend, you can find comfort from God, and God will enable you to keep His commandments. His marvelous grace is sufficient to truly forgive. Continue to pray daily through the day for the one who has injured you, for the people who have injured you. Forgive them. Remember that Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And in a real sense, those who have injured us are not aware of the great harm they have brought upon us. They're not aware of what they have done, and we have harmed others in the same way. And so, will to forgive them. Bring yourself to forgive them before God and pray for their good. And the marvelous grace of God will minister comfort and help to your heart. And so we want to end this time today with the thought again that we must be free from bitterness by forgiving, and we must truly forgive all injuries from all other people, especially your dear spouse. Now, the last thing I want to mention, husbands and wives, is that when we have been deeply injured and when we are in a situation in which we do not or cannot communicate clearly with our spouse, then at times we need counsel and help from a pastor or from a Christian who can give us good counsel. Well, let me just mention that if I can help you in any way towards that, I would be glad to. Again, our contact number is 0782-652-143. If you feel that you would like to talk about your situation and try to get help, perhaps even to save your marriage, and you've been deeply hurt and you find that you're bitter or you're struggling to forgive, then again, let me offer that help that I could pray for you. I would be glad to talk with you as possible. So do feel free to give us a call. One of the great problems in marriages today is that many people are struggling with exactly this issue of bitterness and forgiveness. And so the grace of God can bring great victory into our lives. Simply determine and by your will again, do this. Obey God and forgive this person. And eventually your feeling and the sense of pain and injury will normally be greatly helped. Amen. Father, thank you for this needed teaching today. And so I pray that you would speak to hearts and that you would bring help and healing, Lord, and that by your Spirit, your grace would be sufficient, that many hearts would be turned to real forgiveness and a turning from this decision of the heart to be bitter, but that they would forgive and be comforted and strengthened by you, our great, merciful, forgiving God. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, my friends, until the next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.